Hello and welcome to the Modern Fairy Sightings podcast, where we listen to people's fairy encounters. But take heed, we're not talking about winged Tinkerbells here. These are real fairies, real encounters that took people like you and I by surprise. Stay a while and hear their stories. My name is Jo Hickey Hall, and I'm a folklore researcher. Dear listener, how are you? I hope you are well. This week sees the second birthday of this podcast. I originally released in early November the very first episode in 2020 after being inspired in early lockdown and spending much of the rest of that year interviewing, creating, learning how to podcast until that original episode released in November. To listeners old and new, thank you so much for being here, and a huge thank you to all our wonderful guests whose personal shares have enlightened us over the last couple of years. This whole journey has been made as a community, and we will continue to wander down this path of exploration together, as long as it feels right to do so. I feel very honoured to be part of this, and I'm very grateful because I truly love what I do. Thank you so much to my wonderful patrons. Without you, this could not happen. Thank you for your generosity and your company, which means a lot to me. You've been right by my side through this whole project, and your feedback has helped shape this show. If you'd like to support this project and join us on Patreon, please do. We have some events coming up, private Facebook group, Discord community, and not forgetting exclusive bonus material that often takes a deeper dive, revealing more personal aspects of the main episodes. To mark this occasion, I'm sharing a chat that I had this year with a woman from the island of Jersey, my birthplace, and where I lived until 2014. If you're familiar with the project, you may know that I had my own fairy sighting there in 2007. The podcast image of the Green Man is the impression of that being that my husband Peter Hall drew from the description that I gave him. He managed to capture his vibe in that picture, although the man I saw was much more ancient and not as smiley. If you know the story, then you'll remember that at the time I confided in a friend about what I'd seen, but at that time she didn't understand, quite understandably, and couldn't bring herself to believe me that fairies were real. It was fine, and we remained very good friends. Later in 2014, when I moved to Bristol, she contacted me very excitedly. Another friend of hers had had a very similar experience in the same place. I have been trying to speak to this woman for many years now, and this summer we managed to get together with our dear mutual friend. I was blown away by what she had to tell me. Here is that conversation. I hope you enjoy it. I'll be back at the end for a chat.
No, when I saw my little friend, I was just, because I do a lot of walking here, because, how can I explain this? I didn't think it was anything but normal, because I know there's lots of little people and et cetera, et cetera. But I wasn't actually looking.
No.
And I was, you know, that love, I call it the guardian of this little area. The very big trees you walk in. I'll show you when it's the biggest, and I always normally go past it, ask permission to walk in, etc., especially particularly when I'm on my own. And then commune with the tree afterwards. And I was just going past that tree, coming through the trees. And there was this, like, little fellow, described as, you know, quite wrinkly in the face. He did have a little hat on.
Yes.
Because when you said it, I thought,
No, I've always said he had a hat, but I could never tell you what that hat looked like, but I know he had a hat, and I can't remember what it looked like.
I think it was like a little red hat. think it was a red hat, but I can't remember. It's either a green or a red hat. And he was dressed very smartly. He had like a little waistcoat. About 3 foot tall.
Yes.
But the way he was looking at me was very inquisitive. He was sort of going... And then, as I went behind the tree, he began.
So he was peering at you?
He was peering at me. And, like, not sure, but knew that I was all right.
Yeah.
And I just said hi and down a bit. And was just very aware of him being there. But it was a smartly dressed little waistcoat. I don't know. And this lovely little... cheeks.
Yes.
And
round.
And he had greyish hair.
I can't remember what colour hair he had, but he did have hair.
He did have hair. I'm sure he had grey hair. And he also had a beard.
Yes, I think he did have a beard, yeah. I don't think it was like this, one of the long flowing ones.
No, it wasn't like a long. It was sort of like...
Yeah.
But everything was very well kept about him.
Yes, yes.
He was very neat.
Yeah. It's the same... God, it was running down my spine.
It was up by that, the big tree. And when I told she was going... Because I just said, oh, I saw a fairy at the wood. And she went...
Of course, yes, I do.
Because I see things, but I don't think they're anything.
No.
That aren't supposed to be there. You know.
I know. Yeah. Of course. Well, that was the feeling I got, was that it wasn't. It was a natural feeling, absolutely. But I'd never had that before.
But I've never seen him again.
No, I've never seen him again.
I've seen him once, and it was just up there. In the same sort of area.
Yeah, exactly. That. Oh, goodness me. Gosh, so well, I never knew that what you'd seen was so like...
What you saw.
What I'd seen. I mean, to me, that feels like it's the same being. You know, so is he the sort of genus loci of the place? Is he, you know... The kind of spiritual embodiment of this place. It feels like to me.
But he did feel, like you said, he did feel quite old.
Yeah.
And he'd been around. But he was very mischievous. That was what I was really aware of, like almost wanting to play hide and seek with me, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
There was that. Then I think I was kind of looking and... But then he didn't stay around. He was watching me, and then I, like you, turned around, and then he'd gone.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen him since. So but that was a long time ago, when I first came up here.
But that would have been... So what year would that have been then?
God knows.
When you first came up here, so you think 2011, did you say?
I think 2011.
So it could have
2011, been... 2012, something like that.
So... Mine would have been because I met my husband in 2006. So we met in 2006, so and that in the October. And I reckon it must have been that following summer because we'd been dating and I remember going over to him in the April, and it would have been that summer that he came over. And I remember because, do you remember the old Checkers that used to do the warm gammon? You could buy it and it was ready cooked. We had a picnic with that and it was warm. Yeah. Goodness me.
Well, I got married 2007. That was... So maybe 2007. Can't remember.
So what... Did you have a kind of emotional reaction or anything like that at the time? What was your sense when you...
My sense was just... because I thought it was so normal, I didn't really have lovely to see you. It's nice to be here.
And can you tie it into any sort of transitions in your life at the time then?
always going through transitions.
Yeah, aren't we all?
So, I don't know. There's nothing. Got married in 2007. I can't tie it to.
No.
I didn't think, oh, I saw that and then that happened.
No.
But once I saw him, I just didn't really think much of it. It wasn't until, I bumped into or something, wasn't it? Or we said, we were walking up here and I said, oh, I saw a fairy up here.
Oh, I tell you what then, because you called me when I just moved to Bristol.
Uh-huh.
And that was late 2000, I moved there July 2014, August 2014. But you called me not long after we'd moved there. I'm going to say it was within about the first 4 months or so.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, you'll never guess what.
Yeah.
I've got something to tell you.
Hold on to your hat.
So excited. I know someone that seen something very similar to you.
So it was then?
That would have been 2014.
But of course, when they told me that she'd seen a little person, I thought, I did say that a good friend of mine had also seen a little person. But I thought, being the ever scientist, I thought, I'm not going to tell anything about what you'd seen. I just wanted to sort of get an idea of what we had seen first and see if the two tied up. And when the two tied up, I just... Oh, my gosh.
Well,
my
I feel friend. It's mind-blowing to me as well to hear you describe this.
Well, I'm glad that... I think he did tell me his name, but I can't
remember. Oh, my gosh.
But I can't remember. He did. I was asking... We had that real sort of like eye contact, like you were saying.
Yeah.
I'm sure it, but I can't remember what he told me
goodness.
Now.
I feel like there was a lot of what I walked away from with that, and I don't know. Well, what did you feel you walked away with? What was the sense from him?
The sense was maybe I was, because I sometimes come up here if I'm not feeling great or might be a bit low, or it might have been on that occasion, or it might have been on time when I feel really, really good.
Mm.
But the sense of it was, be mischievous, always laugh, don't take yourself so seriously. That was what the
message was.
The message really was, you know, have a bit of fun, you know. That was what. That's what I took a bit of cheekiness, a bit of. That's playfulness.
Yeah, he was very, very.
He
playful.
Was very light and very playful.
Yeah, I definitely got that. Definitely, for me, what I came away with was the sense that he wanted me to see him. That was all.
Okay.
And looking back now, and obviously with what I'm doing with the podcast, which again is not something that I kind of set out to do at all, maybe it's something to do with this, because if I hadn't had that experience, then I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. But you know, that was at a point where I thought that seeing a fairy was impossible for a start. I certainly wasn't looking for an experience like that. But what was your relationship like with that space, you know, leading up to
I've
that point?
Always loved this space.
Right.
I used to come down and walk down here.
Yeah.
It's always, for me, it's always been a magical place for me. And I love coming down. Sometimes... and I love the bit as you go across. When I go, and you know, I've been doing writing songs and things, that's where I go. And if I take a rug and my drum, and if I really want to be needing to be earthed. I go there and it's completely sheltered because it's a little tiny little way in, but then it's just completely that, and it's trees all the way around you. Mm-hmm. And it's only a space of probably like that.
Just enough for a person.
And no, you could probably put two people there. Mm. But it's very, and then you can just lie on the ground, and you can just all the birds and nature. It grows lovely and wild. Yeah. So that's my little pet. And then round here, I love that tree, and I commune with the trees. I'm always like respectful.
Yeah,
it's to everything that's here.
Yeah. I hope it's always protected.
Mm. I can't believe that it would not stay like this.
Okay.
I think there'd be too many people up in arms.
Yeah.
For it not to be.
Yeah. No. My very brief experience up by that lovely tree that you're referring to. Mm-hmm. I think it was just you and me up there, and I felt like that was this brushing like that, like this brushing from my feet to my knees, my shins, front and back. I didn't see anything, but I could definitely feel that quickly. But it was the wind was still. And it wasn't like the wind was up here and there and everywhere else. It was just in that one space, rushing by me. Yeah.
I know maybe you're more kind of sensory. I know I'm a very sort of visual person. Perhaps you're more sensory.
I think that's more sort of thing. I don't tend to see anything. Although I do have quite interesting dreams.
Have you ever seen anything kind of in the skies or? Time to run away, transmuted. Time to run away. So as it fades out, the conversation continues on Patreon, where our guest goes on to talk about lights seen in the sky, and we make an offering at a tree that we had both separately been working with over the years, completely unaware of each other's activities. We both felt that this was the being's place. Now, as you can hear, I was quite taken aback that what this woman had seen was so close to my own experience. I even slightly dropped out of researcher mode and was quite forthcoming with my own encounter, purely because this really turned into a kind of a meeting of hearts and minds, and just a real excitedness to share and compare our encounters. We're working with lots of ideas when we try to make sense of these experiences. A strong theory is that when we connect with the divine, we somehow project our own beliefs, interests, and experiences onto that encounter, and it reflects back at us whatever we might expect to see. Now, from that perspective, we have created the being that we see. But taking into consideration the testimonial of our guest, it does appear that she saw the same being at the same place. So are we returning to the notion that these beings are indeed nature spirits, external to ourselves and perhaps ever connected to certain places? These locations could be special portals that they use to cross through the worlds, or perhaps these portals are just everywhere and that each location has their potential. And what happens when these places are destroyed? It may follow that perhaps their lives, these beings, are also destroyed. So many of us, after these encounters, feel drawn to protect the environment. This is often a strong message. So it does seem possible that the surge in reports of encounters at this time is a call from the other world to please look after our Earth, which takes care of us so well. Doing what we can to call action on the injustices done to the environment. A prevailing outcome is to live our lives fully, as our guest reminds us, bring laughter into our lives, and to not take ourselves too seriously. I'm currently writing a book about people's experiences. If you've had an encounter and are happy to share your story with me, then please contact me at scarletofthefae@gmail.com. That's Scarlet with two T's and F-A-E. Or through my website at www.scarletofthefae.com. Please bear with me as I have a day job and a family too, so sometimes it just takes a little while to reply, but I do reply. If you have sent me a message and I haven't yet replied, do perhaps send me a bit of a nudge via email and I will attend to that. I really do love hearing from you and I also love hearing your stories. If you simply want to share these just for the data that I'm collecting or for the book rather than the podcast, then that's absolutely fine and you can just let me know. We're building data that appears to suggest that this world is very different to what we've been taught. We're constructing new understandings and there are many of us doing this. Many other researchers like myself are called at this time to study otherworldly encounters. Because I can say personally, at least without doubt, I know that there is more to this world. And I know that we can live differently. I've said this before and I'll say it again. My dear friend Martin Brofman of the Body Mirror System of Healing, one of my mentors, used to say, ask yourself if you can say the following. I love where I am. I love what I'm doing. I love who I'm with. And if you can't honestly connect with those statements, then either you need to find a way to change your mind about your situation you're in, or decide to leave certain situations or change situations that don't resonate with you. Move towards doing what you love, surrounded by those you love, in a place or community where you truly want to live your life. I really wish this for humanity. I wish this for you, dear listener. Thank you so much for joining me in this very special episode, and I hope we can continue our journey of discovery together, especially in these liminal times. Community is everything. Much love, and always remain curious.